I polished off the food as fast as I could gulp it down, went easy on the drink in case I was there for another several hours, and settled back down in my circle, preparing to close it again. When the room's phone rang, "Deja vu," I commented to the empty room. I stood up, my knees creaking, and went to the phone. "Dresden Taxidermy," I said. "You snuff it, we'll stuff it." There was a beat of startled silence from the phone, and then a young man's voice said, "Is this Harry Dresden?" I recognized the voice, Boyfriend Nelson. That made my ears perk up, metaphorically speaking. "Yeah, this is him," I said. I know who it is," I told him. "How did you know where I was?" "Sandra," he said. "I called her cell. She told me you'd checked in." "Uh-huh. Why are you calling me?" "Molly said, she said you helped people." He paused to take a breath and then said, "I think I need your help. Again." "Why?" I asked. Keep the questions open, I thought. Never give him one with a simple answer. "What's going on?" "Last night, during the attacks, I think I saw something," I sighed. "It was going around," I agreed. "But if you saw something, you're a witness to a crime, kid. You need to show up and work with the cops. They get sort of unreasonable with people who go all evasive when they want to ask questions about a murder." "But I think some thing is following me," he said. An unsteady tremor shook Nelson's voice. "Look, they're just cops, man. They just have guns. I don't think they can help me. I hope you can." "Why?" I asked him. "What is it that you saw?" "No," he said, "not on the phone. I want to meet with you. I want you to promise me your help. I'll tell you then." "Right, because it wasn't like I had anything better to be doing. Look, kid." Nelson's voice suddenly went thready with breathless fear. "Oh, God, I can't stay here. Please, please." "Fine, fine," I said, trying to keep my voice strong and steady. The kid was scared, the bone-deep, knee-watering, half-crazy kind of scared that makes rational thinking all but impossible. "Listen to me. Stay around people, as many of them as you can. Go to St. Mary of the Angels Church. It's holy ground, and you'll be safe there. Ask for Father Forthill. He's a little guy, mostly bald, glasses, bright blue eyes. Tell him everything. Tell him I'm coming to collect you as soon as I can." "Yes, all right, thank you," Nelson said. The words hysterically rushed. There was a brief clatter, and then I heard running footsteps on concrete. He hadn't even gotten the phone back into its cradle before he'd taken off at a dead sprint. I chewed on my lip. The kid was definitely in trouble, or at least genuinely believed that he was. If so, it meant that maybe he had seen something last night, something that made it important for someone to kill him, i.e. some kind of damning evidence that would probably help me figure out what the hell was going on. I felt a stab of anxiety. Holy ground was a powerful deterrent to the things that went bump in the night, or in this case, things that went stab, stab, hack, slash, rip in the night. But it wasn't invulnerable. If something of sufficient supernatural strength really was after the kid, it might be able to force its way into the church. Damn it. But what choice did I have? If I left my position here, any fresh attack could make last night's look like a friendly round of Candyland. What could he possibly have seen that would make him worth killing? Why the hell was he being followed? I felt like I was floundering around in the dark inside someone else's house, benighted of savoir-faire enough to move with assurance. I was spread too thin. If I didn't start finding more pieces of the puzzle and put them together, and soon, more people would die. I could only be in one place at one time. If the kid was in real trouble, he'd be as safe at the church with Forthill as anywhere in town, short of the protection of my heavily warded apartment. Meanwhile, there were a bunch of other kids here who looked to be the next meal on the Phobophage buffet. I had to act where I could do the most good. It was a cold sort of equation, the calculus of survival, but undeniable. I'd get to Nelson after I'd taken care of business at the hotel. I settled down on my knees again, carefully, closed the circle, and began to pick up the pieces of the redirection spell once more. The single ward flame candle on the room's dresser suddenly exploded into lurid red light. Simultaneously, I felt a heavy thrumming in the air, where the strands of my web spell had suddenly encountered powerful magic in motion, drawing my thoughts and attention to a back hallway in the hotel, not far from the kitchens, to the hall outside the hotel's exercise room, and a swift double thrum from another of the hotel's bathrooms. Four attackers this time. Four of them at least. I had 10 seconds to get the spell off. 9, maybe less. 8, I threw myself into the spell. 7, it had to be fast. 6, it had to be perfect on the first attempt. 5, if I screwed this one up, someone else would pay for it. 4, they'd pay in blood. 3, 2, 1.